Welcome to From One Dad to Another, a podcast where I'll sit down and talk to other dads about the ups and downs of fatherhood, the ins and outs of what they've learnt through their journey, the pains that they may go through, and also the most joyous occasions. Thank you for listening. I'd love you to jump on to the Instagram from.onedadtoanother. Give us a follow, subscribe, review, anything that might help the podcast grow. Otherwise, jump on to powerstrengthvulnerability.com.au, and there's many ways on there to help out. Let's get into the show.
Welcome back to the pod. We've had some great feedback. Well, I've had some great feedback. I don't know whether you have, but I guess the release was
I've had some good feedback.
My story last week. But I want to jump straight in. I've got a special announcement. I haven't told Pete yet, and I'm going to go into a little spiel here, but we have got our first sponsor, which is super exciting to partner with someone. And he is a dad. For those listening, he's in Geelong. Their company is called BTD Electrical and Data. Effectively, go and search it. We'll share everything in the show notes. But effectively, what I want to share about him today is he's just a dad doing what he does best as an electrician, but also a dad. He found that he resonated with the show, and he basically said, I want to jump on board and help how I can. And for that, if anyone in Geelong is listening and surroundings, Torquay, that area, BTD Electrical and Data is your place to go. And we will come up with a really cool way to advertise over the next little period. But I wanted to share the news with you first and foremost, because, and I'll get your reflection on that in a second, but I think it shows what we're doing is having an impact already on other dads. And it shows that to the mums out there listening, dads actually do want to talk about this shit. We just don't know how sometimes. And if essentially what we want to do is we want to create a world where we can have these conversations where this podcast doesn't need to exist.
Oh, that's great news, Shane. That's super exciting.
I think you're flabbergasted by my amazingness.
I am. I don't even know what to say. We've really only just put out for sponsorship in the last sort of couple of weeks. So to have people jumping on board and sort of picking up on what we're trying to do, and I think that is landing really well. Like, we are trying to have these conversations, and some of them are heavy conversations, but they're better out in the open and then in dark spaces with people. So I just think, yeah, it's just great to have them on board, and hopefully that makes the podcast better, get more listeners. It's all positive.
Next week, I'll share a little bit more about it, but we'll move on for now. And you mentioned just then, like, we want to make the podcast positive where possible. And this episode is all about that. We're looking to recap the previous episode with the previous guest, which was myself, and really start to share some of the positive experiences dads and parents that we have. And we're going to keep the theme happening, and Pete's going to lead us away here.
Yeah, well, like Shane said, we're trying to take out positives, and Shane's story, there's so much in it, and we could have spent hours and hours talking to Shane about so many things in that. So it's only really just touching the surface on a lot of things. Some key takeaways I sort of had and made me reflect on my own story a little bit was sort of the points of reaching out for help. And for myself, when I was sort of probably struggling the most, I hadn't actually reached out and didn't pick up on the own sort of cues in my own story to then reach out. And I got to a point where I did finally reach out. And for me, that was a first I'd ever had to sort of do that and be vulnerable. And I honestly didn't want to do it with anyone I knew or know that anyone would find out. And I actually did it through my work EAP, Employment Assistance Program. And that was literally a phone call to a counsellor. And that was my sort of first step to start to process some of the things that are happening. And like Shane's story, a lot of stuff that was happening to me happened at the same time. So it was on top of each other. So it was sort of stacking, I suppose. And I hadn't actually dealt with a lot of the stuff that was happening earlier. So that was one massive thing that popped out for me. For you, Shane, do you feel the same? We probably, as males, get past that trigger point where we should be reaching out for help. And then we sort of, we're nearly backtracking a bit, trying to piece things back together.
Yeah, I think like this is what these chats and further chats is all about, is basically affecting people in a way where they get help to manage a situation that's effectively before it arises. Like I was thinking about this morning, I go to a business networking group and I'm like, whenever someone in their own business comes up with a problem, they look to solve it straight away because they know if they leave the problem, it becomes a disaster, which is going to effectively cost them lots of money. So they jump on it straight away. But then when we're talking about our own personal well-being, mental health, emotional regulation, we're like, oh, we'll deal with that later. And I get it because it's actually harder to deal with than a problem at work. But effectively, it creates a ripple effect of problems in your whole life. And I know even our recording last week, I kept myself accountable to the fact that I would speak to my wife about the resentment. And I had that conversation last night and I was so nervous to have the conversation. And so my key takeaway was, again, like reaffirming to myself that having these open and honest conversations is the way to resolve or heal or change the path or the pattern and make the adjustments. And I was able to sit down with my wife last night and be like, well, this is where I've been struggling lately. This is how I've been feeling. And like, it's hard because you have three kids under four to get that time. And we're both tired and we're both exhausted. But we knew that if we didn't have these conversations now, they would become bigger problems down the track. So I guess my key takeaway is very similar to yours. And that's have those conversations and ask for help almost before you need it. Where possible, like if that makes any sense. And I think it does because we all have a sense. And I shared a quote recently of our body will always send us warning signals before we actually ask for help. So listen to the warning signals first.
Yeah. And like on the weekend, I had my first game of football. So I'm not sure if any of the coaches are listening, but this is probably a bad reference. But we do focus on our physical health and, you know, we're working to get fitter and not our mental. This year I've missed quite a lot of preseason. That's why I sort of said I haven't quite worked on my physical health that much. But it is something we prioritize and we sort of pick up on signs from our body about different things from a physical perspective. But we really don't do the same for mental. And if we do that, those hard yards in look after our mental health, it does put us in such a better space.
Yeah, the positive experience from just having an open conversation with someone. And if it doesn't go the way it feels like you need it to as well, at least you can tick that box and move on effectively, like and go to the next person or find the next therapist or find the next thing that's going to help you. Because, again, like in business, if you outsourced your finances to an accountant or a bookkeeper and you don't like the way they're working, you get another bookkeeper. But when you go to your own mental well-being, people are like, oh, I saw a therapist, didn't work for me, and they just move on. And it's like, yeah, but try something else. Try a different therapist. Try a different form of therapy. Give that a crack because I know for myself and then for the countless people I've spoken to, once they've done that, the positive experience and the positive changes in their life have this massive ripple effect. And you know, speaking to my wife last night, it was like the help that I've asked for as a family, which I'll share later down the track, is I'm like, this will make me a better person, effectively creating a more positive experience for the kids and for you and for us as a family. And that's what having honest conversations and asking for help, and that's effectively what I did. It creates a positive experience and changing our lives.
Yeah, and that probably directly feeds into my other takeaway from that was that you were open to family and friends and accepting too of allowing them to help, because like I've been in a similar situation where you as males, really stereotyping today, and we do go into fix it mode and we think we can fix everything and, you know, we can do everything. But sometimes you need to be able to create that space like you said, to have those conversations, to work on their mental health, or be just time with their family. So the trade-off is, you know, if someone is reaching out and they want to do, like you said, meals last week, you know, we should be definitely accepting those things, because not only is it helpful for us, but it's giving the other person purpose too, that they're able to help in these tough situations. So, yeah.
I think that's a really good point there, is, and it's where I flipped it probably about 4 years ago. So in my 30s, I flipped my mindset on that. I never accepted anything, never accepted a beer at a pub, never accepted. I always had to like clear my debts, and someone offered me coffee. No, I got it. And we went through this the other week when we caught up. But effectively, I had to switch my mindset, because I'm one of the first people to offer someone something, and I like doing that, because I like making other people feel like they're seen, valued, and heard. And effectively, like, when I say no, or I push people away that are offering help, I'm taking away their kindness. Like, and I'm basically, I can't even think of the right words here, but like, they would feel quite, I guess, shut down by that. And I think sometimes it's the right thing to do, is say, no, it's fine, I can't accept that help, like when your freezer's full or whatever. Or like, I know a friend wanted to set up a GoFundMe when we went through the experience that I spoke about last podcast. And I'm like, look, I understand the generosity of setting up a GoFundMe, but like, our son will survive and we are financially okay, and we weren't in a great position, but we were okay. There's a better service for GoFundMe. So you need to still then pick what's, you know, greedy and what's not. And yeah, someone dropping over $50 worth of food with meals, like, by all means, like, go for it. We know that's not stretching the budget too much for some people. So accepting that is actually, I think for me, it was like, not accepting some of these things is a disservice in reality, because people want help. And I know I would like to help, but do help when the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah. And I just think allowing that, just it gives that purpose to your family too, because a lot of the time they do, family and friends, they want to help and they just don't know how. So sometimes making a lasagna, it is that way of helping. And like, Elise is Italian, so there was a point their house smelled like a florist and every meal was lasagna. But I wouldn't change anything either.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
So that's sort of my main key takeaways, and trying to make it really constructive so that we can, you know, build on that. I just wanted to sort of highlight some of the services that are available for people. Lifeline, fantastic service. The men's line for support and counselling. I'm a big fan of Trademunt as well for blue collar sort of workers. They offer really great counselling service. And just talking to your GP. I'm lucky, I've got a really good GP, and like, having those sort of open conversations around what's going on, and then working towards, you know, setting up your mental health plan. You think they're harder conversations than what they actually really are. So I'd really encourage anyone who's just thinking about having that conversation, just jump into it. It's actually a lot. Once you start, it's a lot easier. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, one key takeaway I would like to share is, and it's going to test my comfortability and anxious levels throughout this year, but listening back to my own voice is something I don't like, and we're making a point of being able to reflect on these episodes. So going back and listening is going to really test me. So my key takeaway is, like, I still need to step into uncomfortable situations to make sure that we're doing what we're doing to help the people. And if I don't listen back, I'm throwing darts with a blindfold on, after being spun around 10 times in a room, which I only be spun around twice and I'll fall over. So, it effectively for me, a key takeaway is, like, we've still got to step in uncomfortable situations, and we're going to talk more about that today. Some challenges and stuff we're going to do, and, just to echo Pete's point, like, reach out to these services. I've reached out to Lifeline twice in my life, and it's been helpful in those moments. And I'm aware of Trademark and going to the local GP as well. So yeah, reach out if any of this stuff is coming up for you.
Yeah, and like we've spoken about with family and friends, if you've got someone who you've got a really good relationship, I've got a really good mate, and we talk, you know, a couple of times a week, and you know, we talk about everything. So, and if you can build those relationships into your life, that, you know, you've got someone to have those, I suppose, micro conversations with about different things that are popping up, it doesn't build up and become big things, because you're sort of having little micro conversations around these things that are popping up or showing up in your life. And it does, I find it's been a massive thing that has changed for me, is having that. I didn't have it in the past, where now I definitely do. And I really notice when I haven't spoken to this friend in, you know, a couple of weeks, I'm like, oh, I really need to catch up with him. And it's a two-way street too. So we both talk to each other about lots of things. Now, we do want to have some topics we throw in as part of these sort of catch-ups. And this week, we've thrown in social media. What are your thoughts on that, Shane?
Well, I feel like people that are addicted to social media are probably turning off right now because they don't want to hear about it. But I think it's super important. Like I will be honest, I've got an app which is called Be Present on my phone. They don't sponsor us, but maybe we can work on that. And effectively, you can set up on your social media like how many opens you can do, and then it just gives you a message if you go over it. And I've found recently, probably I was really good for a month or two, but recently I allow myself 3 opens a day, and I've been going to like 27, 28, 29 opens. And I've set a time limit of like 5 minutes. And yeah, it's the dopamine hit that you get from social media. For me, that's how I've been trying to cope, I guess. Well, it's not trying. That's just how I've been coping with my life. I've been a bit out of control with it. So social media. And this topic is, I think it's a lot deeper than what people like to think.
Yeah, I definitely think, well, I like to think that I'm not addicted, but I clearly am. I open mine a lot to just have a look and see what's going on. And I do like Marketplace, I'm not going to lie. And I do find myself scrolling Marketplace. I don't know whether that's social media or just me liking to buy things, but or looking for bargains. So that's how it's sort of showing up in my dad life. And I'd have to sort of, once we come up with this topic, I was sort of ratting my brain, sort of thinking, well, what are some key things that I think are a negative to dads, and sort of, and I'm a really bad for it, is it's realistically a highlight reel of someone's life, and my social media is a bit like that. You know, I only post the highlights, I suppose, and not really the full picture, and it plays into that sort of comparison. You know, you're looking on there at people's highlight reels of how perfect their life is, and you know, they've got all these things, and you're not actually really getting that full picture. What are your thoughts on that, Shane?
Well, I don't know if I can add any more to that, because I think people understand that, but the emotional connection to that is quite real. And I think Ed Sheeran really sums it up quite well. Is he actually feels sorry for people. He uses it as a business platform. He kind of feels sorry for people that post a lot in terms of, he's like, well, what, you know, is that reality for them? Like, they just seem to want to post everything. And I'm like, that hit me hard, because I'm like, I used to be a big poster, in not a business sense, just in a life sense. So, yeah, it's important to, like, understand social media's role, and that's connection and information and education. And it's geared towards, you know, a way where we're going to create more supply and demand for the marketers. And, yeah, I think the positive of social media is the connection, but you've got to make sure that it's true connection. And you know, we don't want people to get off social media because that's probably how a lot of people find the podcast. So it's just finding and showing, finding ways in your life that it's serviceable and helpful. And for me, it's not when the kids are going crazy and I just go lie down in bed and scroll for an hour because I can't handle it. That's, you know, where I'm trying to cope and not in a really helpful way. So that's where I look at it and I'm like, what do I need to do so I'm not doing that, because that's not helpful. And I'll try and find a video and share, and it's a video, I don't know if you've seen it, but a lot of people are doing videos now of the impact you have on your kids when they enter the room and you're on your phone, and just the different facial expressions or different reactions they have. And I know for me, when I'm on my phone, and I'm not going to sit here and make excuses, like, let's just fly out, because, you know, we'll say to our kids, oh, I've got to do a work thing, or I've got a call, I've got to make, or whatever, and it doesn't matter to them. So for me, it's, and I'm not good at it, I'll be honest, it's getting better at ways where they don't walk in the room and I'm on my phone where possible. And yeah, they, and I'll see if we can find the video. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a couple of the videos like they video their kid walking into their room when they're on their phone, and they video the same image when they're not on the phone. And the reactions of the kids are just like heartbreaking, because you realize that that's what you're doing. So I think it's really important that as dads, we look at that and go, what is our purpose? What do we really want to get out of this? And then change, make the hard changes, because getting off our phone or whatever it might be, whatever the challenging experience is for you, to give your kids more time effectively, that's what they want. They want time and connection, and they need it for their development. It's finding the root cause of why you're doing it. And for me, it's, I disassociate. And social media is the best way to do that, or being on my phone. So it's learning how not to disassociate when that's going on, because kids are hard.
Yeah, and it plays into that too, being present. Mm. And I find you do, and I'm the same as you, Shane. I'm not going to lie. I sit on my phone way too much. And it's in some sense, like I do business stuff through it. Social media, so I'm trying to, you know, maintain that, but there's rabbit holes that draw you off into so many different places, and that's the algorithm that's happening to you as well. Like, they're not stupid, they're designed to do that, to suck you down rabbit holes and then get you scrolling at things you weren't meant to be looking at, or it's listening to you say something and now it's posting ads about whatever you were talking about. They are built to suck you in, but it's probably putting those boundaries around it so that, like what we're trying to create here, so that you can show up and be the best dad, the most present dad that you can be. There's one other thing I sort of had on my list too, was just around the time. And the time spent scrolling and looking on social media, like, is that better spent doing other things? And that's something that plays on my mind quite a lot. Like, I was sitting there, but I was looking at something, and then you go, oh, I've just spent half an hour on my phone. I could have actually spent that doing something with the kids or doing something else. So that guilt sort of then kicks in a bit. Do you feel the same, Shane?
Yeah, and I think the guilt is important, but it's important we don't judge ourselves further on that and take the learnings from the guilt. Hey, why am I feeling guilty? Oh, because I didn't do this, because I wanted to do that, because this would be more important. And then you can try to implement those in ways you can. And effectively, knowing a lot of root cause stuff and mental health issues and where addiction stems in, it's really difficult to actually answer those questions because you don't know what you're trying to potentially avoid. And that is really difficult because you're like, why am I trying to avoid it? And like, I look at it for me, and fortunate you can reflect back on your own parental roles. And I'm like, oh, I probably don't have the emotional regulation because my parents didn't know how to manage me in that situation. And yeah, I spoke to Dad the other week about overwhelm, and he experienced that as a dad. And so when I get overwhelmed, I go to social media. So I've got to look at ways simply and look at the history and look at ways to not appear as overwhelmed, which is so difficult to do. We're like, we can easily put a band-aid and say, I'm going to leave my phone in the car, but we're still going to then, it's going to creep up, and we're still going to get overwhelmed. So we're going to try and find something else which can take us away from it. So we need to work out what's going on, why we're getting to it, and it's difficult to do.
It's like, and so many things too. Like I'm a big one for things in moderation as well. Like I think totally cutting something out of your life, while sometimes is needed, it sometimes can work as a bad thing as well, because then you do use it and you'll use it for hours because you've just gone, oh, this is too much. I need to use social media to just zone out or not be present. And then you're worse off than where you were before.
Yeah.
And like I said, there is positives that come out of social media as well. Like as a marketing and business tool, it's actually really useful. And I send Shane stuff all the time around different dad things that I find that help me.
Yeah.
They make me reflect on how I'm being a dad and how I'm showing up and go, oh, yeah, that's a different mindset or a different way that I can approach that situation. And I think we've got to look at it as it's a topic. It's not all negative.
Yeah.
There is positive elements to it as well. And like you said, Shane, if we didn't have it, it'd be hard to get listeners because that's what we use to promote.
Yeah, it's like there is so many positive experiences. Like you are able to keep in contact with people who move away or move overseas, and effectively you could let many people know about potential life events that happen with you without calling everyone individually, because and obviously the experiences we went through, which we spoke about last week, it was sometimes easier for us to just announce things or let everyone know via social media rather than calling people. It was too difficult to call the people that cared. We knew lots of people cared and lots of people were invested. And I think in hundreds of thousands of years ago, when you lived in communities, they made announcements within the community and everyone knew. You didn't go around individually to people's houses or didn't make individual calls. There was announcements made effectively in a different platform. So the platform that's there now is very vital in being able to provide that information. Where we get lost is we still need to keep in close contact with the people we love, care about the most, and have that real true connection. And then you've got this amazing platform, which is very useful. It's just probably consciously and unconsciously abused on multiple ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, I agree. Well, our challenge for the week is social media related, Shane. What are we going to do?
That's not a great one for me to answer because I don't want to do the challenge. I think I'm a big believer in taking social media off phones for a period of time. The hard thing with that is, and this might sound like an excuse, but that's how I put the video type of this podcast. So I think that's probably not helpful for a lot of people. But I think maybe we look at going no more than 30 minutes a day to start with, something like that.
Challenge accepted.
And I would love any listener, and we don't have a Patreon and we don't have we don't have a big account and we don't have a big WhatsApp group or anything like that. Yeah, we're not that big, but I would love to hear people's experience. If you're listening, do the 30 minutes a day challenge. If you already spend 30 minutes, maybe challenge yourself to 30 minutes a week or adjust the challenge to suit what you do. And it might necessarily be social media. It might be something else that you always do on your phone or another addiction that might marry up with you. But do the challenge and send us what comes up for you, because we'll that'll give us other topics to talk about. But like, I already know what's going to come up for me, and that's a lot of anxiety and a lot of probably more overwhelm and stuff. So, and it probably it'll come up with like, oh, but I need to do this, so I'll do that. And that won't count in the 30 minutes, but it does. we have really good ways to justify what we're doing. humans are really intelligent. We don't give ourselves credit. Our brain is just amazing. So I reckon 30 minutes a day, and then basically we'll go 7 days, because I think we're going to record in about 7 days. We'll see how we go.
Yep. That's going to be a mission for me. It's lucky that last week I did have a purchase on Marketplace of a new caravan. So I think I've got my Marketplace fix for a little bit.
I don't think it's a Marketplace fix. I think you've been banned from buying anything for a little while.
Yeah, pretty much. At least knew about this one.
Yeah, this one. That's the key.
This one. Yes. Very good. There's one thing I want to do to sort of end off these sort of, I say, reflective and topic episodes is sort of a dad celebration for the week and something that has gone well. In our house, every time we have dinner, we go around the table and ask everyone what went well for you today. And usually Lacey always ends that with not coming home to see me. But Shane, this week, what has gone well for you?
Oh, I have good kids. We haven't got there yet. I was listening to a chat the other day and someone's like, I'll wait until your kid tells you they hate you. So they're the fun things to look forward to. Dad celebration in the last week. I shared one about the bike, which is amazing. I think probably the most recent one. So I haven't been very present the last few days. I've been a bit unregulated myself. Last night, Ryder slipped in the. I was wrestling with the boy. No, sorry, I was scaring Ryder, and we're having like lots of fun. And my phone was away, and really got in the moment with them. And he slipped on the kitchen floor and hit his head, and just my ability to do some deep breaths with him and not panic and sit with him and allow him to regulate himself through that process, because what ended up, he's got a big black eye today and a big lump on the side of his head from where he hit it. I didn't think he actually hit it very hard. But the urge was to say, mate, you got your hand out to protect yourself and take away the validation of his experience. That was my urge. It was like, take away everything. But instead I went into that, like, paused, and I grabbed him and I just sat there with him and allowed him to go through that bit of emotion rather than cause extra pain. So my dad's celebration is, I guess, being able to be present enough to help my son regulate, which was quite painful because he definitely didn't get his hand out. He hit the table flush, big slip on the floor, probably from a meter away, bang, crash. And just being able to regulate myself and then help him regulate himself in that moment.
Well, growing up in a house full of boys, Shane, I don't think that's going to be the first black eye that's going to pop up for you, and probably not the first emergency room going into either.
Oh, it's like, it's funny. I was like, reality is like, based on everyone for being unconscious at some stage this year, I was like, at least he's conscious, like, kind of thing.
Positive.
I think it's funny. It's easy to manage a crying baby than an unconscious one. Kid. So, it was relieving in that way. And yeah, he's wearing the shiner today pretty proudly. And yeah, he's like, when I squint, it hurts, but no, it doesn't hurt. So, but knowing his little brother's a brute, people would probably easily think that they got in a punch on. Actually, I got another wing. I'd like to share as well, because I think this is important. I just remember it, and then we'll go to you. But Ryder started his hitting stage, of hitting his brother stage. So the other day he headbutted him and Colby fell back, and that brought fear into us because last time he fell back, he said and was knocked out. And then I effectively took him out of the room, and because I didn't know what to do, I'll be honest. I just didn't know what the right thing was to do. So I just took him away, and that created more chaos. Then yesterday, the day before, he punched Colby in the back, like, really hard. Colby was doing something he didn't want, and he just, like, laid one into right in the square in his back. There's a mark on his back. And we didn't do the same thing we did before. We were a lot calmer, and we effectively then got him to respond quicker to what we were saying. So the first day took probably 15 minutes to calm him down because we took him away. The next day we did things a little bit differently. It took a couple of minutes to calm him down because he didn't want to be taken away from the situation. And effectively we're like, what do you need to do in those situations of frustration? And use it as a real teaching tool, which we probably didn't do so well the day before. And then last night I came across something on social media and shared that with Alicia. So we were able to then reflect. And I think the parenting win in that was we knew we didn't probably parent the best. We parented the best we could in those situations with what we knew, but we knew there was a better method. So we both read this post and we're like, let's try that next time. And I think our ability to reflect on the way we parent is a huge step because we're not going to get it always get it right. And that shows then to our kids that we get better as well and we learn from these experiences as well. And then, you know, next time we can, you know, use this new tool that we've got and we haven't tried it yet. But I think that's been another massive, you know, celebration, not just as a dad, but as a parent, just parents this week.
Oh, that's great.
What's yours?
I'm gonna cheat a little bit. Mine was from a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. All right. We'll allow it.
Yeah. You have to.
Well, I don't have to, but I will.
Well, I'm going to run with this story. We went down to Wilson's Promontory National Park a couple of weeks ago, and all of us went on a hike up to Mount Oberon, and it's about 8K round trip. And I thought this is really going to test Lacey. And yeah, we were halfway up the hill and apparently her legs could not take one more step. That was what she was telling us. So we ended up just get to the next corner. And by the time we got to the top, it was an amazing view. And then she pretty much ran the whole way down the track. So her final steps were probably a little bit premature. But after it reflecting, I was like, how much I needed that to do that with the kids too. And even that time away, this year's been pretty hectic with just lots of things going on with work and just actually taking myself away from everything. We had just a tent and that went down there, went away with a couple of friends. It was only a couple of days and doing that hike with the kids. It just made me really think on how much I needed to do it. And the win was that we all did it together. Mm. Like it was a family sort of achievement to walk Mount Oberon and come back. So that was my little, I suppose, dad win for the fortnight, I'm going to say.
Fortnight, yes. No, I love it. I think those are the memories and they're sort of the core memories kids remember. Like I remember walking along the beach with my parents in this photo, so that helps as well. Like that triggers the memories and the not so much always the memories but the feelings that they have, the safety that your kids would have felt through that experience and the true connectedness, not just to the family but nature, I think is super, super important. And so I love that. It's left me feeling like that's something that we need to do with our kids a little bit more.
That's all we've got for today, Shane. But I am super excited about our next guest that we've got coming on the show, which we've already recorded. Yes. So that one is very exciting.
Yeah, so Joel, effectively the next guest, Joel, he went through, we actually didn't know what he was going to talk about. And then it was like, holy crap, you actually got a like pretty challenging birthing experience you went through. So we get to go into that a little bit more. He was an amazing guest that we had on. And, yeah, we'll obviously record our reflections on that as well. But this episode and, you know, these recaps will filter in basically after every guest. And we love topics to talk about or people to write in and share and be vulnerable in their stories. And we'll share them online anonymously and talk about that as well. We're not experts, but we're just people going through the ups and the downs and the roller coasters and trials and tribulations and fun experiences of being a dad. And yeah, it's, you know, I think we would love to hear from the listeners as much as we can. I think it brings a smile to my face when I get to say, speak to someone. They're like, that was just really cool you shared that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll obviously have some more exciting news around the sponsorship and how that's going to look going forward and how that's going to shape how we do the show.
Thanks for listening.
Appreciate listening to From One Dad to Another. If there's anything else you'd like to add, please email Shane Kelton at FOD2A.com.au.